Chapter 27.
I need you to do something for me, Staven said.
Name it,
Hask said. Despite his urgency, Staven seemed not to be able to utter the words. He pressed his lips together for a moment and took a deep breath. I need you to kill the mentor. Hask wasn't surprised. This was a risk Inferno Squad had taken when it had chosen to pit the two against each other.
Why me?
Because the others might hesitate. They've known him a while, and you've never really liked him.
No, I don't, Hask agreed. Can I ask why? What the hell was he so upset about, anyway?
I kept him around this long because he had information I needed. He's been the one, other than Azen, to provide us with targets.
Aiden was right, Hask thought. And now you don't need him anymore.
I need what he knows, but I don't need him. He was upset because he was convinced that someone had gone rummaging through his things today. Hask shook his head.
Nope. I was here all day when you were out. No one touched anything. Why would we, anyway? We had no idea he had information he was holding out on.
I tried to tell him that, but he wouldn't listen. You need to take him out. He's starting to get paranoid.
And you're not,
Hask thought, but didn't say. And you need to do it quick. He might just take off and take the information with him.
I'm on it, said Gideon.
He held out his hand.
Give me your blaster.
Aiden had hopped onto a speeder bike. Her comm chirped when she was about halfway to her destination.
It's me,
Hask said when she responded.
Seems like the mentor's been holding out on Staven with regard to some very important information. I'm to recover that info and kill him.
I'm halfway there. Where are you?
I had no idea where to find him. You sure you can?
Yes, I need you to tell Staven you'll do it, and then get to the ship. Tell Del to make an excuse and join you there. This shouldn't take long, and then we can finally get off this wretched, dusky world.
You've got a blaster, then?
Yes.
Well, all right then. I was looking forward to putting a hole in that prig myself.
Anger swept through her, but she tamped it down. That's an order, Hask, not a request.
Of course, Captain.
I'll let you know when I'm headed back. Aiden clicked off the comm and crouched low over the speeder's bars. She was not looking forward to what she had to do next. Aiden took a back route to approach the amphitheater indirectly. She knew that the mentor would come here, and having read his journal, she now understood why. She dismounted several meters away, unholstered her blaster, and moved toward the place where she had practiced so often with him. Her night vision goggles on, she could see him clearly. There was one stone in the center of the basin where he liked to sit, and he was perched atop it now. He held something in his hands, turning it over and over. He had no night goggles on, which was foolish, but somehow he looked up in her direction. He couldn't possibly see her, but Aiden froze anyway.
Did Staven send you?
The mentor spoke in normal tones, but his voice carried perfectly. Aiden stepped forward and shouted back.
No, I came on my own accord.
Join me, Aiden, he said, waving her down. She paused. She could take a shot from here and be done with it. But there was so much she wanted to know, and he didn't appear to be armed, except, of course, with information that she wanted. Slowly, keeping the weapon trained on him, she made her way down into the amphitheater, stopping about 4 meters from him. He smiled at her sadly.
I thought it would be you. I assume you found my journal.
Yes, she said. Now it all makes sense. How you knew Saw and Stila, your education and political knowledge. My father wasn't very fond of senators, so I don't think I've ever met one before.
And you still haven't, he said. I'm just plain old Lux Bonteri now.
Plain old would never accurately describe him. He was the son of a senator of Onderon, and he'd been a senator representing the world himself. In his youth,
he had loved both a Jedi and the original partisan rebel leader. He had fought against and for the Republic, and then against the Empire, before going into hiding, having somehow acquired confidential information. Rebel or no, Lux Bonteri was quite possibly one of the most impressive men she had ever met. But she couldn't tell him that. "The information," she said. "Hand it over."
"I can't do that, Aiden. You know I can't."
He looked at her regretfully.
"You'll have to kill me if you want this."
"I will." Lux nodded.
"I know," was all he said.
Even so, Aiden didn't fire. Not yet. "Where did the information come from?" she demanded.
"My daughter."
It was possibly the last thing Aiden would have expected him to say. There had been no mention of this in the journal. You mean your goddaughter.
"But you said she was dead."
"Maya? Yes, she's dead.
I don't have a biological daughter. I told you, I was married once.
And my stepdaughter is as close as any blood-bonded child could be. She's a little older than you. You'd like her."
"I don't understand."
"You know,"
the mentor, Lux, said, as calmly as if she weren't standing a few meters away with a blaster aimed at him,
"no one really likes showing themselves in a bad light. We all want to think we're doing the right thing all the time in every situation."
Aiden swallowed. She thought about Sen, of the determined look in the girl's eyes as she had lunged towards her commanding officer, forcing Aiden's hand, forcing Aiden to kill her. Sen had done the right thing in that moment. And Aiden had too. But Sen should never have been placed in that position. Never. That was all at Aiden's feet, and she could never, ever undo that.
"You're right," she said. "We do want to think that. But we're so far off from perfect, it's almost absurd."
Lux continued.
"I think of some of the things I did when I was young. How fortunate I was that I had people to pull me out of it when I got in too deep was being far too stupid. I've loved, and I've been loved, Aiden. And I use that love as a weapon to get what I wanted. I'm deeply ashamed of that. But I'd do it again in a heartbeat."
"So, your stepdaughter obtained vital information and gave it to you?"
"Yes. She isn't highly placed herself, but she has access to a lot of classified documents."
"You convinced her to turn on the Empire? Is she a mole?" Aiden realized now Lux had seldom mentioned his stepdaughter, not even in his journal, because he was protecting her.
"No. Never."
Lux was completely firm in his response, and she believed him.
"She's as imperial as they come. She takes after her mother in that respect. But she loves me. Huh. She did."
Regret filled his voice as he spoke.
"I can't help but wonder if now she despises me."
I knew she ought to kill him right now, but she didn't. This story intrigued her, pulled at her in a way she couldn't fully articulate. She told herself she merely hoped to add another feather to her proverbial cap, to have the name of another traitor to pluck from an important position, the way one plucked a weed from a garden. But she also wanted to hear more about this. About someone who was, if Lux was to be believed, and she didn't have cause to doubt him, as imperial as they come, but who could still do something to betray the Empire. She needed to understand. So, mindful of everything in her environment and her blaster still leveled squarely at his unarmored chest, she said, "Go on."
"You know why I joined the Dreamers, unlikely a fit as I am. But after Saw was killed at Jeddah, before I reached out to them, I reached out to her first. I told her that Saw's death upset me more than I could ever have imagined."
He gave her a sad smile.
"The best lies are the ones that have truth in them, aren't they?"
Aiden didn't answer. Lux continued.
I said that it was obvious that the Empire's power could not be denied. That the only true peace could be bought with its victory. I told her I'd give them everything I had on the operations of the Rebel Alliance. But I wanted amnesty. I asked her to give me specific places and times where it would be safe for me to turn myself in. Someplace public, where I'd be on record. I told her I knew that some people in the Empire weren't as honorable as she was, and I was afraid I might be taken, tortured, and then killed. It upset her to think about anything like that happening to me. Aiden swallowed hard. End this now, she told herself. He won't tell you her name. He'll die before he'll do that. He has nothing more of import to say. Kill him, take the chip, and get your team home. But she did not pull the trigger. Instead, she licked her lips and forced her voice to be calm. I see. So she gave you names of people she thought you could trust to be honorable when you surrendered, she said. More than just names, Lux replied. Detailed information on where they would be, what events would be going on, security codes. 11 major public events spread out over 3 months. 11 different options for me to surrender to the Empire. One of them was the trip to the factory, Aiden said, putting it all together. Yes, both of those men, whatever their failings, were not the hardliners that so many others are. They'd have honored my surrender. 3 other events had already happened before you arrived. I know about those. They were the ones her father had mentioned. The ones that had caused him to send in Inferno Squad. In an effort to revitalize the Dreamers with new important victories, Lux Bonteri had doomed them. She was certain he knew that now. Obviously you didn't surrender. Lux shook his head. No, he said. Though at one point I thought about it. But then I remembered. This isn't the Rebel Alliance. This is the Empire. And you have more cruelty in common with the Partisans than you'd like to think. Aiden wanted to deny it, but she couldn't. It was true. Even Hask had said as much at one point. Instead, she said, I'm not your confidant. No, he agreed. But you are the last person I'm going to see before I die. And I want someone to know. Well, know at least as much as I'm willing to tell. So tell. Then die. He shrugged and continued. I didn't turn myself in. Not just because I'm not keen on torture, but because eventually I'd betray my stepdaughter, too. They would figure out her part in this, and they wouldn't understand why she'd done it. So instead, I tracked down Staven, someone else who had worked personally with Saw. I told him some of what I told you, that I had a one-time source of information, and I was willing to share it with him, but not all at once. Staven didn't like that, but what was he gonna do? Aiden thought. And so far you've hit 4 of the targets, and no one's made any connection. There's no connection to make. They've so little in common. It looks random, except that the Dreamers somehow got the information. There's nothing at the present time to trace it back to my daughter. His eyes bored into hers. Except you now. And I don't think you'll do that. Why wouldn't I? Aiden challenged. First, because after my disgrace years ago, she changed her name. It would be difficult to track her down. Second, because, as I said, she's a loyal imperialist who loves her father despite everything he's done. And I don't think you believe that she should die for that. The blaster wavered. Then Aiden leveled it again. Chit-chat time's over. Give me the chip. He shook his dark head. No. Lux, you just said the Dreamers were no different from the Empire. You don't agree with how they handle things.
You didn't just destroy weapons or shipyards or kill off Imperial soldiers. Innocent people died in those attacks. Civilians. Children would have, if not for Sen. The people the Dreamers are supposedly fighting for.
I never would have told Staven about the school tour had I known they would target the students. You know that.
His eyes flashed angrily. You should have known that wouldn't matter to him. You were never going to get them to change.
Strangely, his pale blue eyes brightened at that. But you see, that's something that the Empire doesn't understand. There's always hope, Aiden. Hope that if you speak truth long enough, the right person will hear it and know it to be the truth.
Something inside Aiden snapped. Her icy calm exploded in a burst of white-hot rage, against what she wasn't exactly sure. You're not making inroads, you're making enemies, she snarled, trembling with fury. Let me tell you something about that hope of yours. Right after you left, Staven took Gid aside and ordered him to follow you, to get the information about the rest of the strikes and then kill you. Staven, your leader, he's not listening, Lux. None of them are.
He seemed shocked to hear that, and for a moment he looked smaller to her. And older, as if the years had suddenly caught up to him. Then, oddly, he began to smile, and that abrupt aging fell away. No, Lux said. Obviously, he's not listening. And maybe none of the others are either. But answer me this. If, as you say, and I do believe you, by the way, if Gid was ordered to follow me, get the information, and kill me, why are you here?
Because I told him that you trusted me, which might mean you would show me where you hid the information, much faster than killing you and randomly searching.
That's a reasonable explanation. And it's true as far as it goes. I do trust you. And I don't trust Gid. But I think there's something else. Some other reason why you didn't want him here. Why you wanted to come yourself.
When Aiden didn't answer, he continued, taking a cautious step toward her.
And you know, that gives me almost more hope than I had before. You can't quit hoping, Aiden. Cling to it like a lifeline because it is. Hope that something you do or say will make a difference. Look at what happened with the Death Star. One man hoped, for years, clutching an awesome, tremendous secret close to his heart, that somehow he'd be able to reach someone and let them know that Abomination had a weakness. The rebels who stole the plans at Scarif died, but they hoped that they had transmitted the signal in time. Leia hoped the plans would reach the rebels. Hope, Aiden. It's at the root of everything we believe. Without it, we're nothing.
If hope is all you have, then you already are nothing, Aiden said quietly. And you know what they say. Live in hope, die in despair. She fired.